welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. This is Companions on the Journey, a one-hour weekly program that provides the opportunity to deepen our faith in the Lord Jesus and to share with each other the moments of grace we have experienced. Monsignor Stephen McHenry, Pastor Emeritus of St. Anthony of Padua Parish in Ambler, Pennsylvania, is your host. Monsignor will be taking calls during the second half hour of his program. Call in and speak with Monsignor by calling 610-527-2906. And now, your host, Monsignor McHenry.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Companions on the Journey. My name is Monsignor McHenry, and I'll be with you for the next hour. And it's always a joy on a Friday afternoon to be able to spend some time with you, and time spent reflecting on the scriptures for the upcoming Sunday. Right off the top, there's a little bit of confusion because in some dioceses, Ascension, that feast day, is celebrated on this coming Sunday. And there are maybe five dioceses in the country out of 180 or so who keep the Feast of Ascension on the Thursday in the sixth week of Easter. And Philadelphia happens to be one of them. So yesterday was the holy day, the Feast of the Ascension. And then this coming Sunday will be the seventh Sunday of Easter. And then the following Sunday will be Pentecost. And so in some dioceses in the country, the readings for Ascension will be read this Sunday. And for us here in Philadelphia, we'll be reading the seventh Sunday in ordinary or in Easter time. So it just makes it a little more confusing, challenging. Of course, we need more challenges in our life. We don't nearly have enough. And so anyhow, we'll be, I'll do a little bit of reflecting on the Feast of the Ascension because I think it's helpful to people. And so it's good to be with you this afternoon. It's a beautiful spring day. We're coming to the end of May, the month of Mary. And we're moving into June, the month of the Sacred Heart. And that's, I always have a special place in my life for the special heart. I'd like us to begin our program, as we always do, in a spirit of prayer. And there are different things and different people that we can be praying for as we come to the end of May. I would like to pray for our new Pope, Leo XIV. I like him. He just seems to be a simple man, a quiet man, smart. Doesn't seem to have an agenda other than to love the Lord and to draw people to him. And that's pretty good. I'll read you something that he wrote that touched me when I read it, and I want to share that with you later in the program. So I'd like you to pray for our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV. I'm still struggling when I'm celebrating Eucharist to say our Father instead of Francis. I'm saying Leo, but it comes out as our Father Francis Leo, and eventually it'll take hold in my mind and in my memory. There are some people whose intentions I would ask you to pray for. Good friend of mine from the parish of St. Anthony had some surgery today for a detached retina, kind of sudden. And I would ask you to keep her and her family in your prayer. And some different people have reached out to me to pray for different family members who are undergoing surgeries this day and some who are going through recovery of different kinds. An aside, my own health has been rebounding. The the spinal surgery that I had in the middle of March is going very, very well. And I just need to keep walking and to build up strength in my legs and in my feet. And my anticipation is that next week I'll be in touch with a physical therapist, and I'll do some things that have to do with balance and for strengthening the leg muscles and the feet muscles to make walking a little bit more reliable. I walk like a toddler at times, and you know, like the toddler doesn't always know where his or her feet are going, and I experienced that a little bit myself. And I've been able to genuflect if I'm at the altar, but when I genuflect and it's just me, I can get down all right. It's the getting up which is a little bit problematic. So I have to work on that to get my balance back. I want to thank all of you who have been praying for me for my recovery. And also, I had a really bad congestion and cough, and eventually it went away. And then, of course, it decided to revisit again. And I'm just at the far end of the little bit of congestion, a little bit of coughing. But all in all, enjoying life and enjoying, you know, the beauty of creation all around. And I've been helping out in parishes again, and I have a retreat coming up at Mount Vernon, not this weekend, but next weekend, and another one in the summer, and then another one in the fall. So God's good, and he's giving me things to do and to take care. And so I would ask you if you would keep me continued in your prayer. Tomorrow night, our high school class is going to celebrate its 60th class reunion. We went to Bishop McDevitt High School. We were the class of 1965. I didn't quite make it to 1965 at McDevitt. I entered the seminary after 2 years. But they've always counted me as an honorary member of the class of 65. And because they do, they allow me to contribute to the alumni fund, which I think is very nice of them. And so anyway, 60 years. You know, you wonder, will you have a 65th? Will there be enough people to put together 65? We're all 78 years old. And we've lost a number along the way. So our reunion, and it's earlier. It's we're going for 4:30, 4 o'clock, I think, till about 8 o'clock. So we've learned ourselves. And we used to be able to enjoy ourselves into the evening and into the wee hours, but I believe those days are in the rearview mirror. But if you would remember us, I'd be grateful for that. And a good friend of mine, Father Joe Shinosky, who is the pastor of Mary Mother of the Redeemer, is celebrating his 25th Jubilee this weekend. And so if you would remember him in your prayer and his classmates in your prayers, that's a big thing. I remember my Silver Jubilee, and it's a big milestone for a priest. It puts you in your early 50s, usually. And so whatever your own intentions are, things that are going on in your life, in your family, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your parishes, there are some changes, new assignments, new priests, new deacons, and so forth. So whatever your needs are, let's place them all before the Lord at this time, and we'll pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of faith. We would love our faith to be stronger than it is. We probably don't really know how strong our faith is, but we all have the sense that it could be stronger, it could be better, it could be more reliable. But Lord, help us strengthen the faith that is your gift to us. Faith is a gift, but the gift has been received, and we're living it, and we're doing our best to place ourselves into your, entrust ourselves into your hands. And all of our concerns and all of our hopes and all of our dreams, we pray them into your hands, Lord. All of the people that we are worried about, are concerned about, are on our minds, or in our hearts, we place them in your care, O Lord. And we know that you will truly take care of everything. The surrender novena, it's really true, Lord. If we would just trust you more and entrust into your hands everything, every concern we have, every worry that we have, every child, every spouse, every parent, every sibling, every friend, put it all into your hands, Lord. We pray for that grace to be able to do that this very day. And we make our prayer in your name, now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, thank you. And it's always good to pray with you at the beginning of our program. Kind of sets the tone a little bit. Companions on the Journey. And a companion is somebody that you break bread with. Cum pane. With is cum, and pane is bread. So when you break bread with somebody, he's a companion. And we're on this spiritual journey through life, a physical journey. But we're on it, and we're walking the walk. And so we ask the Lord to be with us and to feed us. And he feeds us with his word. And so I'm going to read to you the gospel for this coming Sunday. And then I'll comment on it a little bit. So we've been reading for a while now from the Gospel of St. John. And it's often read in the Easter season. And so it's read every single year. And this is from the Bread of Life discourse, and then it's from the discourse at the Last Supper, when Jesus, having revealed everything, washed their feet, you know, revealed the Eucharist. He's praying, and he lets them listen to his prayer. And just try to enter into that for a minute, like what that would be like if you could actually hear Jesus praying and understand what he was praying, if you could hear that. Sometimes we actually, often it's incidental, you know, but we might come upon somebody, maybe they don't even know we're there, and they're praying, and they're just pouring out their hearts. And I always found that to be like one of the most humbling things, to listen to somebody's prayer. It's the most personal of things. And, you know, it's not like we're watching our words or anything. When you're praying like that, you're just pouring your heart out. And, you know, your tenses may not match, and, you know, it may not be clear. But, you know, it just kind of comes tumbling out of you. But, you know, it's real. And it's right from the heart. And the Lord loves that. He just really loves that. We don't have to get all the words right for him to understand what we're doing. And so just listen to John. This is chapter 17 and verse 20 and up to verse 26. It says, lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed. And this is what he said. Holy Father, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be brought to perfection, as one, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you love them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the great prayer for unity. And it's the night before Jesus dies. It's like his last will and testament. It's like his final word. And he's saying, what do I want for you guys? I want you to be one. I want you to be one as the Father and I are one. That's what I want. That's what I want. And why does he want that? Because we are so splintered, so estranged, so ruptured. And even in the community of followers of Jesus, there are all of these eruptions and estrangements and different denominations and people splitting off from other people and people moving away from the fullness of truth into heresy and people, you know, splitting off from other people that they once upon a time worshipped with and now they won't even talk to. I mean, the Lord Jesus knows what we need, and he knows what the Father can do. And so he prays that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us. Unity. You know, we don't, we want it, but we don't want it like yearning for it with every fiber of our being. As a friend of mine says, you know, do you want it like air? Like you need air to breathe? Do you want it like air? That's a good question. Do we want unity like air? And what would we be willing to sacrifice so that unity might be? What might we be willing to give up for that to happen? The essence of the Godhead, the Trinity, is unity. Three persons who are all one, but not the same. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father. They are all one. They are all God. They are all united. There's a dynamic of love in unity in the Godhead. The Father's love for the Son goes out. The Son receives it and returns it to the Father. And in that loop is the Holy Spirit. A Spirit, the dynamic of love, which is holy and personal and spiritual. And so that's why we call that dynamic of love the Holy Spirit. And that's the very Spirit that the Lord shares with all of us. That's the Holy Spirit that comes to us in the sacraments. Comes to us in the sacraments of baptism. The Holy Spirit comes for the first time and indwells. And the Holy Spirit comes again in confirmation and strengthens. And the Holy Spirit also comes in ordination. So that the priest, hands laid upon him, will be able to order the community in a holy fashion. That's holy orders. He'll be able to serve the needs of the people. He'll be able to lead them in Eucharist. He'll be able to reconcile them to the Father and to the Church. He'll be able to bring prayers of healing to them. He'll be able to anoint the sick. He'll be able to feed them with the Eucharistic bread. He'll be able to baptize them into Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised up. He will be able to preach God's word to them, and they will be sustained by God's word and challenged by God's word and directed by God's word. So the Holy Spirit is just this great gift, and we're going to experience that Sunday a week on Pentecost, on the 50th day after Easter. And so these are great events in our lives, great events in the life of the church. But as we listen to Jesus, He's looking at the 12. It's 11 now. Judas is gone. See, the oneness right there was sundered. One pulled himself away from the community. One no longer gathered with them, broke bread with them, was present for them, had his feet washed, but then went out in betrayal. And Jesus knew who it was. What you are about to do, do quickly. And when Jesus is confronted with Judas in the garden, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? A sign of friendship, a sign of love, a sign of closeness, a sign of intimacy, kiss. And I'm going to use that to hand you over. I mean, it's just the perversion of all that is good and beautiful and holy and uplifting. It's the perversion of it. And that's how you can tell that evil's present. And evil's always present in the estrangement. He's always present in the rupture. That's what the enemy did. He went against what God had established in creation. I have a better idea. I'm going to substitute my idea and my will for what you have done, O God. And I'll put myself in place of you. That's the rupture. That's the estrangement. And that's what has been visited upon the human race. Everybody born onto this planet is affected by that original sin. And that's why Jesus came free from that original sin, because Mary was kept free from the original sin. And Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit, not by a human father. And so Jesus is free of that. His unity is still intact. And so He can use that unity to renew the face of the earth, to recreate again. He can use the unity that is in Him, in the oneness that He has with the Father. Father, I do not do my own will. I do the will of the one who sent me. Father, not my will, but thine be done. You know, Father, he who sees me sees you. The Father and I are one. The unity that is in God is what God wants for us as human beings. The enemy has sown seeds of disruption and estrangement and rupture. And we live in that. We go at each other. And sometimes we go at each other even in our families, even among our closest relationships. This cannot be. This is not the way of Jesus. This is not what He wants for us. He wants unity for us. And so that's what you hear in His prayer. Father, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. How does that happen? That they may be in us. We have this thing called the indwelling. And we talk about the indwelling of the Trinity. We talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so each person has a body and a soul and a spirit. And the soul is what animates us. It's where our being lives. It's the source of our being. And the soul is able to be one. The soul is able to be sundered, fractured. And so what Jesus does, and this is where ascension kind of comes into play. After the resurrection, so on that first Easter Sunday night, Jesus appears to the apostles in the upper room. You remember, Thomas isn't with them. Judas isn't with them. So it's just 10. And peace be with you. He shows them his hands and his side. And he breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they're forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they're retained. The forgiveness of sins is necessary because it overcomes the obstacles to unity. If there's been bad stuff done, it puts people away. They don't want to be one with that person anymore. They want to, you know, harbor their wounds, take care of their own wounds. They become defensive. They become accusatory of the one who hurt them. And so forgiveness is what enables us to move beyond the hurt into full liberation. And so Jesus, he takes on our sin, and then he grants us forgiveness. And he does that right as he's dying from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And one of the thieves hanging next to him, he offers him the opportunity to live with him in the paradise that very day. Today you will be with me in paradise. You will be with me. So the withness of God, he is with us. But there's more. There's more than just he's with us. He's not just a companion on the journey. It's more than that. As a matter of fact, when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, into him. What does that mean? We're able to enter into him. The way God is and the way we are made is that we are able to enter into God. We are able to have this relationship with God that transforms us, that changes us, that makes us our best self, that overcomes our sinful tendencies that are the result of original sin and our own sin. The fragmenting way of looking at life, the suspicions that we have about what's going on and what people are doing or thinking, all of that, which sunders unity, which works against building a spirit of trust. And trust is necessary if love is going to be real. And so when Jesus says that we all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, it is able to enter into the other person. And one of the examples of that, it came to me years ago as a young priest, and I was watching the parents on the first day of school, especially with the kindergartner kids. And the parents would walk them up hand in hand, and then they would have to let go, and then the little one would have to walk the last part of the path by themselves up, and then they would be welcomed by the sisters at school. And I was looking at these moms and these dads, and you know, letting their child go, and then the child walking up the path, turning around, looking and waving, and then keep on going. And I was looking at them, and I'm saying, the heart of that mom and the heart of that dad is no longer beating in their own breast. It's with their child. And then I understood that love goes where it loves. Goes where it loves. St. John of the Cross says, love lives where it loves. Well, think about that. We're going to come back. We're going to take a little break. And then in another 90 seconds or so, we'll resume and we'll follow through and we'll talk a little bit about ascension as well. Be back shortly.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, we are back, and I was just listening to our announcer, Dennis Nolan, reminding that you can call in this second half hour, 610-527-2906. If you have a thought about anything that I've been saying, the prayer of Jesus at the Last Supper, the Feast of the Ascension or Pentecost coming up, all of that will be welcome. You can call in and we can talk about that a little bit. I remind you that besides this In His Sign Catholic Radio, I have a website and it's called the Online Cottage, and there's a onlinecottage.org is the web, is the Gmail that you can contact me. And so you can listen to some of these radio broadcasts that are there. You can also listen to daily homilies that I put up and Sunday homilies, holy day homilies, things like that. Sometimes my retreats, sometimes funeral homilies, a variety of things are there. And then homilies that I've given in the past on different themes, and you can go and look on my website and see the different themes and look them up. And so it's a very nice opportunity. If you want to leave a request for prayers for your intentions and so forth, you're able to do that as well, and I can get back to you and tell you that I'll be praying for you. And so that's theonlinecottage.org. And then the In His Sign radio broadcasts are also there, and you can listen to them as well. If you go to Facebook, you can find the live streaming of this particular program, and you can see me sitting in the studio and talking to follow up on my little reflections on the Gospel of John for today. The concept of indwelling, where you live in another person, you live where you love, that's what happens in God. The Father lives in the Son, and the Son lives in the Father, and the Spirit lives in them both. They live where they love. And so while they're personal, and there's an individual component, they're not self-contained. They live in the other, and they live for the other. And that's what we're invited to do, to live with the other, to live for the other. And it's possible for us to do, and we experience it. We just don't always recognize it. We don't always name it. But it's very true. It's very real. And you can see it in ordinary human relationships in the very daily experience of life. You see husbands and wives living for each other. You see moms and dads living for their kids. You see kids as they get older taking care of their moms and dads. You see, you know, homes where the mom and dad die and siblings take care of their brothers and sisters. You see that kind of thing, and they live for them and they live in them. And that's all part of what God desires. It's all part of the unity that Jesus prayed for on the night before he died. it was like his last burst of gifts that he wanted to give was, Father, that they may all be one. And we yearn for that. You know, we yearn for that connectedness. And sometimes we yearn for that very connectedness with God and what he does for us. And when we miss it, when we have, like in the spiritual life, there are things called moments of aridity, A-R-I-D-I-T-Y. It's an arid, like the desert is an arid place. We can have moments of aridity, or longer than moments, times of aridity, where we feel very, very dry and not too well watered, not really feeling flush and jubilant and ebullient, magnanimous. We're not feeling those things at all. We feel empty. We feel drawn out. We feel desiccated. And so the Lord says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you that. He will help us to blossom. He knows, you know, he knows from the inside. It's a different thing, a God who creates all of us, and then we're over there. But when the Word becomes flesh, and he becomes one of us, that changes everything. And when that Word is put to death by us, who came to free us, that changes everything. And when that Word made flesh goes into the grave and is transformed and is resurrected, risen, as he said, never more to die, that changes everything too. And it doesn't just change it for the people that believe, it changes it for the world. It changes it for everybody, whether people believe or they don't believe. It's still changed. It's still different. It still happened. It's still very real. And it's the transforming power that our culture looks for all the time, but has not yet found, except they find it in Jesus Christ. The transforming power. The whole transgender thing is born of a certain confusion. We yearn for transformation. We yearn for transfiguration. Part of our Catholic faith is transubstantiation. What does that mean? It means that the host, the bread, the unleavened bread, has been transformed, transubstantiated. The substance of bread has been changed, trans. And now it's the body of Christ, and the blood is there because the wine has been transformed into the blood of Christ. And so our culture seeks transformation. It gets disturbed at times, and it looks for it in the wrong ways and in the wrong places. But it comes from a good place in us, because we sense that we're built for transformation, which we are. I have another caller here, and it's on line one, so it's Joseph. So I'm going to do that and then say, Joseph, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
All right. I'm newly divorced, and I was just calling to see if you could have prayer with me.
Surely.
Walk this new journey in life.
Mm-hmm. What, when you say you're new to it, tell me a little bit about that.
I just got divorced this past Wednesday.
Ah.
I just was wondering if I can have prayer, because it's like, you know, just about to be a whole new life, and I just want to continue in Christ, and I trust in the Lord all the way, and I have no doubts in my Lord, and you know, I just want to add prayer.
Yeah,
just for guidance.
Sure, let's just do that now.
Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, we listened to you pray on the night before you died, and you prayed for unity, that we all be one. And our brother Joseph has just experienced disunity, and his heart has been wounded. And he needs your healing touch, O Lord. His family has been wounded, and the family needs your healing touch, O Lord.
Yes.
All of the members of the family. And Lord, you are the only one who can do this. By your wounds, we are healed. And you allowed yourself to be wounded like that for our sake, so that we could come to you and touch our wounds to your wounds. And in that moment, like, our wounds start to be healed. And so I pray that healing process to begin this day in our brother Joseph. I ask you, Lord, to be the healing balm that he needs in his life. I ask you to bring him to fullness of health and strength. I ask you to restore him, O Lord, to rejuvenate him, O Lord, to rekindle his spirit, O Lord. I ask you to make him whole, make him one. And then, Lord, I ask you to find a way to connect him to others so that he will be one with you in the community. And I ask you, Lord, for his family to be blessed and to be healed. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Master.
God bless you, Joseph. You take care.
God bless you.
Amen. All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Are we back on? Okay. Let me just return to our little passage from the Gospel of St. John. When Jesus says to his Father and he's praying, and again, just think about that, listening to him pray. When I was a young seminarian and then a young priest, we had a little prayer group, and we've still been praying together for years and years, 50 plus years. And one of the most difficult things was to be able to pray in front of other guys just spontaneously, like I just did with Joseph. And I really had to learn how to do that. I was so self-conscious of, praying right and making sure I said the right thing and didn't say the wrong thing. And it took me a while just to forget all of that and just focus on the Lord. And take the person and put them in the Lord's hands. And just do that. And to have a certain simplicity about that. A certain humility about that. Just, in their pain, in their woundedness, to bring them to our Lord and to allow him to lift them up. Allow him to tend to their needs. That's the God in whom we believe. That's the Lord Jesus. That's what he did. That's what he does. And he does it still. It's not like, he did that when he walked the face of the earth, but he's gone now. No. He did that while he was on the face of the earth, and he abides now. He lives in the Eucharist. He lives in our faith. He lives in each person. We are baptized into him. His own spirit lives in me and in you. His own spirit indwells your soul. And that's a prayer you can pray every day. I pray that prayer every day, that the Holy Spirit will create a beautiful dwelling place in me, in my soul, for the Father and the Son to abide, that there's a welcome place for them, that I've cleaned it up and I've removed the dark places and I've allowed the light of the Lord to enter into my soul, and then the Father can come and the Spirit can come and there's room for them. There wasn't room for Jesus when he first came. And one of the things he asks us to do is to make room for him in our lives, in our souls, to make room for him. And when we do that, there's a connection that takes place. And then slowly, slowly, Father, that they all may be one. Yesterday, being the Feast of the Ascension, one of the things I realized, excuse me, was that for a number of years, I struggled with the Feast of the Ascension. I mean, I understood resurrection, what that means, and I understood the crucifixion and things like that. And I even understood, you know, had an understanding of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't grasp the ascension. You know, like, why Jesus? I mean, after the resurrection, he appears to the disciples in the upper room a couple of different times. He appears to Mary Magdalene. He appears to the disciples up in Galilee when they're back fishing again. And he appears on the two disciples on Easter on the road to Emmaus. And so we have all of these different accounts of his apparitions. But in the 40 days, you know, we don't have like 40 accounts of his apparitions. We have like five or six. And so if you stop to think, you're saying, well, there were days when nobody experienced Jesus appearing to them. And then, so, like, okay, nobody was there Monday, nobody was there Tuesday, nobody was there Wednesday, nobody was there Thursday. Like, hey, guys, what are you going to do? What do you think the Lord wants us to do? Where is he? I know that he's risen. You know, but the Holy Spirit hasn't been poured out. The Holy Spirit's been breathed into them, and the Holy Spirit is in them. But the Holy Spirit hasn't taken hold of them yet. It's different. The Spirit within me is different from the Spirit taking hold of me. I don't know whether we all realize that. The Spirit can be in us without taking hold of us. And what we pray for is for the Spirit to take hold and become the power source in me, so I don't have to rely on myself, on my own strength, on my own abilities, on my own understanding of things, my own wisdom. I don't have to rely on that because I have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has taken hold of me. And that's what Pentecost is about. But, so why is ascension necessary? And I just want you to think about this, like, Jesus appears, apparitions here, there, and so forth, and then he disappears. And we don't know where he went. I mean, did he go all around the world? We don't know. Was he just still in the region of Galilee or down around Jerusalem and Judea? We don't know. We're not told. It's not necessary for us to know. Did he appear to people silently who never revealed that he appeared to them? Perhaps. Did he appear to his mother? Perhaps. We know that he descended into hell and that he went there while he was in the tomb, and he freed all of those who were there, who had lived in hope for the day of the coming of the Messiah. And he freed them. We know that. So there's so much that we still don't really know. But here's the thing, if he never ascended, we would still be looking for him to appear here and there, an apparition, another apparition, looking for him. And we would spend our time looking for him. Instead, what he bids us do is spend our time praying. And then we start to experience him. When? Where? In the breaking of the bread. And if he had not gone to the Father, we would never have gone into Eucharist. We'd still be looking. And he said, no, I am with you. I am with you. Do this to remember me. Repeat the words I said to you at the Last Supper. This is my body. This is the chalice of my blood poured out for you. And they saw his blood poured out for them. And then they realized that he was the Lamb of God. And that his blood was shed. All of it. All of it. And just as the Hebrew people in Egypt were saved by the blood of the Lamb, he was the new Lamb, whose blood would save all of us. And then they started to get it. And they said, how can we eat of the lamb? Like we would do in Passover. How can we eat of the new lamb of God? And Jesus takes the bread and says, this is my body. Eat of it. This is the chalice of my blood. Drink of it. That's how you eat of the lamb. In the bread and the wine, which is no longer bread and wine. It has undergone transformation. And then we start to see. And the transformation that we're all yearning for and that people are looking for in the technological parts of our lives, that's not where they're going to find the real transformation. The real transformation is the transformation that comes to us, that allows us to become the true self that we've always wanted to be but could never make ourselves be. The true self comes when Jesus gives us the power of his spirit, and the true self enables us to become united with the Lord and then with each other. And it kind of has to be in that order, because if we're not one with Christ, then it's really difficult for us to be one with one another. And so the ascension is necessary, because the Son returns to the Father who sent him on mission. And the mission has been accomplished. And the victory has been won. And what is the victory? It's that every single human being now has the opportunity to be saved. Every single human being has been empowered now to be able to say yes to God. As Jesus said yes to God. As Mary said yes to God. Every human being has that now. That's what it means. Nobody can say, well, not me. Yes, everybody has the opportunity, because that's why Jesus came, and that's the mission that is accomplished. And once Jesus returns to the Father, he doesn't just go back to be the Son of God in the Godhead. He brings with him humanity. He brings with him a body. And he's going to be a body forever. There's a diminishment in him that the Trinity doesn't care about, the diminishment, because it's love pouring itself out. That's what the enemy could never understand. But that's what's really going on. And so Jesus has to be reunited with the Father, and together they breathe their spirit. And that's the spirit that lives and animates you and me. So we really, it's neat stuff. It's transcendent in ways, makes a great difference. I'm going to read a little something from Pope Leo. It'll tell you what he's like. And he says, brothers, sisters, I speak to you, especially to those who no longer believe, who no longer hope, who no longer pray, because they think God has left. To those who are fed up with scandals, with misused power, with the silence of a church that sometimes seems more like a palace than a home. I too was angry with God. I too saw good people die, children suffer, grandparents cry without medicine. And yes, there were days when I prayed and only felt an echo. But then I discovered something. God doesn't shout. God whispers. And sometimes he whispers from the mud, from pain, from a grandmother who feeds you without having anything. I don't come to offer you perfect faith. I come to tell you that faith is a walk with stones, puddles, and unexpected hugs. I'm not asking you to believe in everything. I'm asking you not to close the door. Give a chance to the God who waits for you without judgment. I'm just a priest who saw God in the smile of a woman who lost her son, and yet she cooked for others. That changed me. So if you're broken, if you don't believe, if you're tired of the lives, come anyway with your anger, your doubt, your dirty backpack. No one here will ask you for a VIP card, because this church, as long as I breathe, will be a home for the homeless and a rest for the weary. God doesn't need soldiers. He needs brothers. And you, yes, you are one of them. Leo the 14th. Pretty good stuff, if you ask me. That he could write that and mean that. I'm going to conclude now with our parents' prayer for our children. I'd ask you, Lord, to hear our prayer, and I ask all of the listeners to pray along in their hearts as I pray. Father, we have a simple prayer we place before you. Lay your healing hands upon all our children, including those who have walked or wandered away from the spiritual and sacramental practice of their faith. Bring them back, O Lord. They've turned for meaning to ways other than the practice of their Catholic faith. There are still some remnants of faith, but Mass has become less important. They believe they are basically good people who want to be their best by being true to themselves as they live in today's culture. Our faith is often viewed as being mostly about rules, commandments, and mandates. There is little realization that faith is actually much less about these things and much more about you and your love for us all. It's much more about living in the truth that you are, O Lord. A connection has gone missing. This is not fully grasped. There is need to grasp this simple truth. There's a deep need to be reconnected to you, the vine. We who have loved them into life and formed them in faith know that this connection to you is vital to their lives, their love, their happiness. And so we pray, O Lord, that those we love will soon recognize anew that you are real. They will realize that your love alone abides. We so love our children, Lord. We so love you. Please guide them, prompt them, awaken them. May they come to realize that you, Father, as does the father of the prodigal son, go down to the road each evening to look for their return, as do we. It is for this return that we pray. In the name of Jesus, your beloved Son, we pray. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, descending upon you, your family and loved ones, and remaining with you forever. I'll be in touch with you next week. God bless you.